Hey, Boss Fam, and welcome to another all-review edition of The Boss's Desk. As always, we like to give you a spoiler warning before anything kicks off. With that being said, spoilers ahead. So, if you haven't already watched the film, it's best if you take a pause and come right back once you've watched. If you've already watched and you're ready to dive in, hang tight. You are in for a treat. So, let's start the show. Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your host for today, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my fellow geek guru, The Professor, and we also have a special guest today. Professor, I'm going to give you reins over the intro, so go ahead and do that.
Absolutely. As a special guest this week, a friend of mine reached out, said he'd like to be part of our Infinity War discussion, so... It's not quite Wakanda, but instead we'll go with the Wisconsin correspondent, my man Jay. Don't call me Reed Richards. Jay, thanks for hanging out with us today, man. What's happening?
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. Absolutely. Excited to be here.
Yeah, this is fun. Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I've been looking forward to this conversation, you know, pretty much since we started talking about it last episode. I'm ready to dive right in, but, you know, we got some standards we got to go through, so we'll go through the rigmarole of what's going on a week in box office and let you know what's coming out soon, and then we'll dive right into this Avengers Infinity War discussion. All right, let's do it.
Yo.
All right, so week in box office just passed, and there's literally nothing surprising about this. I mean, it's surprising, but for this one specific reason. Avengers Infinity War comes out last week and kills the box office. Weekend gross domestically $258 million on the first weekend. It hit $650 worldwide. Yeah, $650 worldwide. Yeah, and it's crazy, man. I'm not surprised. Got released in 4,400 theaters. It's really killing it. I'm not surprised that A Quiet Place is in second. We said that everything was going to shift. What is surprising is that I feel pretty rounded out with three. So Rampage has dropped from the top three. I thought it was going to hang on there, but it did not. And so, yeah.
I mean, that kind of surprised me, too. I mean, the other thing to think about Infinity War is it hasn't even opened in China yet.
Yeah. Which is
the second largest market, I think, in the world. It might even be the first largest market in the world.
Yeah.
So it hasn't even opened over there yet. So it's going to make all the money. I mean, it passed Force Awakens by, what, like $11 million at this point?
Yeah.
For opening weekend. You know, and we knew it was going to be huge, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if anybody really thought it was going to do quite this much money.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what are you thinking, Jay? What do you think about these numbers?
I mean, it's nice when a superhero movie can go into this kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, when you're talking about beating Star Wars, that's no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you see the cool little thing that the Star Wars people did, too, for Marvel? The little picture they sent them?
Oh, yes, that was awesome.
It's Ray's hand with the lightsaber, handing it over to Tony Stark in the Iron Man glove. Congratulations, that was really cool.
I mean, they are all the same company now, really.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, this is true.
I mean, they're probably looking at it like, okay, now we have a goal.
Yeah.
You know, now we need to beat Avengers, and then Avengers will say, you know, the Marvel side will say the same thing when it's time to beat Star Wars again.
Yeah, exactly. And,
definitely.
You know, they're all doing, when everyone's making money, everyone's happy.
Yeah. And that little friendly competition does not hurt at all. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how Star Wars does. I don't know if Han's going to really hit these kind of numbers. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think Han's going to hit these kind of numbers?
I don't.
Yeah.
No. This is top of the heap numbers right here.
Yeah.
Han won't be there.
Yeah.
I don't get the same. I don't get the same energy for Solo either. When you hear people talk about it, like the ads and stuff, I don't get the people all that excited. You know, I was talking to somebody, I forget who I was talking to about it, but it's kind of like the comic book movies still get that draw, still get that energy from people that they want to see them. I think Star Wars is starting to hit a little of that saturation point, which is kind of weird that you would think that it would.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the spinoffs, or maybe it's people now looking at the last two Star Wars and haven't been too fond of the last couple ones. So maybe that's why Solo's kind of getting that side eye, like, I don't know if I really want to see this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm excited for the cast, but I don't see this pushing any higher than maybe 100 mil first weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the thing with the Star Wars movies, especially the spin-offs, is Infinity War and the other comic book movies get hype because people want to know. It's serial movie making. People want to know what happens next. In Solo, you got a good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This is a prequel. You know he's going to get the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You know he's going to become best friends with Chewie. You know there's going to be a quick romance. You know he's going to fall out with Lando. I mean, it's going to be great. I'm going to enjoy it, but there's no what happens next.
Right.
There's no next part of the story here.
Yeah, we know how Han's story ends.
Oh.
Yes. 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 Yeah, we do.
We do. It's a great point. Everybody knows what's next. There's nothing to really be surprised by.
You
can be surprised by somehow he becomes Han Solo. You
know, right.
The great Han Solo, but we know where it goes next. It's a great point. There's nothing to look forward to because we've seen it.
Right.
Yeah. So it'll still be fun.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those I'm going to take. Look, I took the day off for this to go see it. I'm going to take the day off for Deadpool in a couple of weeks when it comes out.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to be taking the day off for Solo to go see it.
Yeah.
If I go see it that Saturday, I will. If not, I'll go the next weekend.
Yeah.
See, it's interesting you bring up Deadpool in that same situation because I don't get that serial movie making with Deadpool. I just really want to see Deadpool.
Right.
I just want some more of that character.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Deadpool. That's going to be one for the books. They get a little bit more budget. Oh, we're going to see some bullets flying. No numbering bullets. So, yeah, can't wait for that one. So, let's dive into some what's coming up this week. Movies, we got two movies of note that I really wanted to, you know, talk about and get out there. We got a movie called Bad Samaritan starring Robert Sheehan and David Tennant. And basically it's a story about a pair of burglars who stumble upon a woman being held captive in a home they intend to rob. And so the way that the trailer has been showcased is they stumble on this, I guess, this serial killer's house played by David Tennant, and he's going after them. So it's a weird kind of flip of story. Like you see these home invasion stories, but now you got the home invasion story, but the serial killer is the one whose house is being invaded, and now he's going after the robbers. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Like I'm down for a nice thriller like this. So yeah, I mean, so what do you guys think? Did you guys get a chance to look at the previews or anything? Did you see a trailer for it?
Personally, I'm kind of surprised. I don't know much about this movie, being the fan of Tennant.
I know, yeah.
I may have seen an ad here and there, but I really don't know anything about it. I haven't seen anything for it, so unfortunately, I can't really say anything on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Andy, but I think the premise sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's refreshing to see a movie that has a fairly original premise. There's a lot of stories out there that have already been done. And this is a very interesting twist. I'm now excited to see it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw the trailer maybe like a couple days ago, and automatically I'm like, oh, David Tennant. All right, I'm going to check this out, see what's going on here. But it's indeed a flip on your regular type home invasion or thrillers story. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely might see this. I might see this in theater. So yeah, that's one to look for. Next up, we got Tully, starring Charlize Theron and Mackenzie Davis. The film is about Marlo, a mother of three, including a newborn who is gifted a night nanny by her brother. Hesitant to the extravagance at first, Marlo comes to form a unique bond with the thoughtful, surprising, and sometimes challenging young nanny named Tully. It sounds like, yo, I'm not even gonna hold you. This sounds like borderline kind of like realistic Nanny McPhee or Mary Poppins type dealy. And but it's like there's lots of drinking, alcohol, and parties. So,
I mean, so it's an adult Mary Poppins.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what to expect from this one. I mean, I probably won't. I'm not gonna hold you. I probably won't see this in theaters. But I'm definitely a Charlize Theron fan. The story looks well enough where I definitely do want to check it out. But it probably won't be a theater visit for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this doesn't really sound like my kind of film either. So
yeah,
I mean, the premise is definitely intriguing, but I'm not sure it's something I would necessarily go see in the theater either. It's not really kind of my movie, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna have a hard pass on that.
Appreciating that honesty.
Yeah, I not for me. Movies are expensive enough, and I'm not wasting my money on something like that.
Yeah, yeah. In the words of our friend Rick, Rich, I need some explosions in here. I need some explosions in here in order to satisfy my tastes.
Or at least just an explosion.
Just some attitude, you know. That's, yeah, exactly. That's just attitude, and I'm happy.
Yeah. Oh man. So, all right. Let's move on to some TV, Netflix, and Hulu. So, coming out this week, we got Colony, which is a sci-fi kind of like post-apocalyptic show about a alien invasion and how the world is trying to cope, being, you know, divvied out in districts and things like that, and basically being colonized by another planet. I like the first season. I kind of fell off after the first season. I'm anxious to get back to it, but I think because I watched this, I binge watched the first season. I feel like I need to binge watch this show. So this is not one that I want to wait every week for, because the story is pretty involved, and I'm not patient for that stuff. I need to know what's going on. So I'm looking forward to Colony, but I'm like. Like, because I'm a binge watcher, I'm going to be waiting for this one for the season to end.
That's fair. There's another one of those that I unfortunately know anything about. I've never really heard of this one either. Is this a Netflix or a Hulu one?
This is, I believe it's TV. I believe it's TV, oh. But I saw it on Netflix. I think I saw it on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's,
the premise sounds interesting for sure.
Yeah, the premise is pretty cool, so. Yeah, it's definitely a show worth taking a glance at, but yeah, like I said, I gotta binge watch this, so it'll be a wait till the end of the season.
You know, it almost sounds to me like reverse Alien Nation. I don't know if you guys remember that show. I loved that show when I was a kid.
Oh yeah,
and it sounds kind of like the opposite,
oh, okay.
Except instead of these travelers coming to our planet and being these so-called second-class citizens and trying to adapt to our world, we're trying to adapt, and from what this show sounds like, we're trying to adapt to being taken over.
Right, basically. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm with Andy. I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
This sounds good.
Yeah, it's one of those sleeper shows. Like, I feel like it's really good. It's just, it's so riveting. Like, I need to see everything in one arc, in one suit. So it's like, it's definitely worth a look. It's definitely worth a look. Yeah. And also coming to TV, Netflix, and I believe it's coming to Netflix. Coming to Netflix this week is Dear White People. I love the first season. I love the movie. It's definitely poignant. It's raw. And it's a conversational show, which I love. So yeah, that's coming out this week. I'm excited about that. And I cannot wait to check that out. So, and that'll be the whole season, so I'll get to binge watch that.
Kill everything in one shot. Yeah, this is another one I don't really know anything about. So, you know, I can't really speak on this one. I don't even know if I've even seen it when perusing through Netflix. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. It's one of those shows kind of like almost like it's a show that should be watched in schools.
Yeah.
Like, it might be kind of tough to get some of it, you know.
Yeah.
You might piss off some parents.
I mean, this
if not high schools, for sure college.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely
It kind of reminds me of of Cosmos. Like, you should be showing this in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this, there's some things you can learn here.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
I didn't know season two was coming out already.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were going to do a season two until, I think, like, I heard like, maybe earlier this year or late last year. And so I was like, okay. I just thought that they were remaking the movie into just, like, a serialized piece. But it's going to keep going, which I think is awesome. So,
yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's talk about what's coming out in gaming. We got the Games with Gold. I try to keep you guys up to date with what's coming out as far as Games with Gold. I'm going to try and do some PlayStation Network stuff too, so you guys know what's coming out for free. Games with Gold, nothing really big. Super Mega Baseball is coming out. This is actually like a brand new game release, and it's coming out for free for Xbox Live holders. So I don't know. I mean, that doesn't really bode well for me for a game, but yeah. So that's coming out. And then Sega Vintage Collection Streets of Rage is coming out. Like, my mind is blown. I am all in my childhood right now. So I'm definitely picking up Streets of Rage when it comes out, because they're going to give you all three of them. So I'm looking forward to that.
Is that a port or is that a remake?
It's a port.
It's a port.
Yeah, it's just it's just a Sega game, and they're just bringing it over. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I hope they do more of these Sega Vintage Collection games for Xbox Live.
I think they probably will, because they seem to be pretty popular when they put them through.
Yeah,
so works for Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, keep them reasonable, and people will buy them.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The other thing that we were talking about before we got started was, PlayStation Store now has the demo for Detroit Becoming Human, game we talked about not too long ago. It's it's kind of a futuristic, kind of almost not quite Blade Runner-ish, but maybe a little bit that feel, where it's a whole society that's mixed with humans and androids. And the game looks like it focuses on three different androids and kind of their stories. The demo shows you the one, Connor, who's a police detective. He comes into an apartment where an android has flipped out, and he's taken a little girl hostage, and he's killed the father. Jeez. And the quick part of the demo is you wander around the apartment, you do the investigation. It's kind of got a lot of Arkham Asylum, the Batman game, parts into it.
Okay.
Where you can, like, recreate the scene, you know, kind of move the control, like, you know, you hold R1 or R2, and the scene moves back and forth.
Oh, wow.
Like the investigation mode in the Arkham Asylum games. Very similar to that. But what adds on top of it is, as you're walking around, you're interacting with other NPCs, and it gives you an option. Like, it'll give you four different options, depending on your buttons to press, as to what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you finally get out to the deck and you're talking to the android, it'll pop up with four different options, and it's like, you know, lie to him, tell him the truth, change the subject, and some other option. And depending on what you pick, kind of depends on how the story progresses, and whether
you
upset him more, or whether you calm him down, whether you can try to, you know, kind of take hold of the whole situation. It's really, really cool so far. I played it briefly on the demo portion, because it's only that scene in the demo, but it is really, really cool so far.
Yeah, you know what that feels like? That feels like L.A. Noire. Did you guys ever get to play that when it was out?
I did, yeah. I had that for a while. Man. It's not too different from that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that game. I used to play that game religiously. I think I played it through, like, maybe three times. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to this. I might have to try that one.
Demo and check that out.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet it's only PS4.
It is only PS4, yes.
Oh, I might have to just... There's a lot of games that have been coming out lately where I'm stuck on my PC, and it's like, maybe it's time to finally get into an adult console.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you always have those questions, like, during your gaming process. Like, I've had Xbox One for a number of years, but I was just like, I know eventually I'm going to have to get a PS4 if I'm going to want to play the games that I want to play. And, you know, God of War was coming out, so I was like, nah, I got to get this PS4.
Well, you don't got a whole lot of time left there either, Jay, until you're going to be needing an older system, because that boy is growing up quick. So
he is. And I tell you what, he actually asked about, hey, Dad, you know, Skyrim came out on the Switch. Like, oh, no, no, no.
Not yet, son.
Let's play some more Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but we're going to put a pin in that.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll probably jump into Zelda pretty soon here.
Oh,
but
nice. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's I remember coming, like, all of the different stages of gaming coming up, like what you could get and what you couldn't get, and just how much more the stories got involved. Like, it's a good time. It's a good time for gamers.
It is. Definitely, I'm excited. I actually, I'm going to get him into World of Warcraft here, in this summer. And, I bought my work PC, and once I can, actually bring it home, I'm going to set him up and get him into WoW.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah,
probably never hear from him again.
Yeah. Right. I've also been working on my wife a little bit. I think all three of us should be playing.
There's no way your wife's gonna play. Wow.
If you market this right,
I know,
and you make it a family affair, she cannot turn you down.
And I think there will be concessions. I will have to do some things that she likes to do, and I'm okay with that. She has more healthy activities that would probably be good for me, and I think this is going to happen.
So you barter. Yeah.
Right. Yep. That's how it works, but we'll see. Andy's probably right.
Yeah.
He's known her for a while too, and he's looking at this much more objectively than I am.
Yes.
Oh, man.
The trick would be to get your sister to play again. Then you might be able to get your wife to play.
Well, no, she plays. She's furious at us, Andy.
What? She's still playing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
We went to the dark side. We went to the dark side, man.
Oh, no wonder.
Every time I mention WoW, she just looks at me with disgust and says, alliance.
Hey, we didn't have much choice at the time. You know what I'm saying?
I told her. I was like, we had no choice. We'd jump back in a heartbeat if we could.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's funny. We'll talk about that more later.
Especially with those brown upright standing arcs. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, they do look pretty sweet.
Oh.
We'll have to have you back when the expansion comes out. We can go into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So that's all for the preliminary news. All right. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back to the moment you have been waiting for. The
important stuff. That's right.
The Infinity War discussion. All right, guys, we'll be back after the break. Hey, what's up, Boss Fam? Big Boss here. And as much as the professor and I love giving you the geek news of the week, every week and discussing all things geek culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least try to use our platform to do a little good in the world. And that's why the professor and I, along with some of our friends, will be working together with ExtraLife.org to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Extra Life unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. Extra Life is a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And on game day, November 3rd of this year, the boss's desk will be joined by thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day, 24 hours, to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And together, we can make a difference for sick and injured people. Your donation is 100% tax deductible and will make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So go ahead, click the link down below, the donate button down at the bottom of our podcast page, and it'll take you to a webpage that'll allow you to make a safe and easy online donation to our cause. And now let's get back to the show. And we're back, folks. What's up? So, like, now it's time. You've been waiting for it. You
it's
know?
Time for war.
It is time for war. A war of infinity. The infinite war. The Magnus War. Oh man, let's really just dive right into it. So I mean, you guys already know, if you're already here at this point, we already told you that this is a spoiler filled review. So, you know, this is your second chance. You can back out now. If you don't, I can't be held responsible for anything.
It's not our problem at this point. if you're still listening and haven't seen it yet,
you know. So let's dive right in. So let's look at some highlights. So let me find out, you guys, what your top three scenes are in the film. So tell me what your top three films are in the scene. So what's in the film? So we'll start off with you, Professor, and then we'll go right off to you, Jay.
Wow. Top three scenes. In no particular order.
Okay.
I guess, you know, one of the first that jumps out to, obviously, is the battle scene at the end.
Yes.
In Wakanda with everything that goes on there just as a whole is just amazing. I would have to say Volmir is probably another one of my favorite parts of the whole movie when they get to Volmir and that whole reveal.
With the
we already gave our spoiler warning, right? So with the Red Skull making his first appearance out of nowhere.
Yeah, buddy.
It's definitely a favorite scene. And you know what? Oddly enough, the very end of the movie where you just have that moment where it's just like a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, and here in the middle of it, here comes Thanos walking straight up after he's done what he said he was going to do.
Yep.
What I didn't catch the first two times I saw it, that I did catch this time, which if you've read the Infinity War comic stuff, you know, off to the right, when he gets to the front of the cabin and he sits down, off to the right, there's a scarecrow off to the side that has his armor sitting on it.
Oh, wow.
That's a callback to the comics.
Exactly. I knew you would catch that one. That's when the whole thing was done in the comics, there's a spot. I think at that point he might be in the Soul Stone. I don't remember.
When he's sitting in the grass?
Not in the movie, but in the comics.
Oh, okay.
There's a scene where he's in one of the stones, and there's this scarecrow outside of this little hut that has got his entire set of armor on it. And I think it's Warlock and might be Gamora or Warlock and Pip. Somebody walks up and out walks Thanos, and he's just wearing like a plain robe, you know, because the whole war is over and he's done with everything. And
he's tending to a field. Yeah. Like he's plowing a field.
He did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah. So, which is why, like, that scene in the movie to me sticks out, because it's very similar to what actually happens in the comics. I don't think he's in one of the stones at that point.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's back on Titan and he's just revived part of it.
I've heard that it's either Titan or it's Gamora's planet.
Oh, that could be. Because he talks about how beautiful the planet is now.
Yeah.
So that was definitely one of my favorites too. So those off the top of my head, I would say those are my favorite three in no particular order.
Yeah. All right. So what about you, Jay? What are your three top scenes in the film?
Well, mine. The first one would be Thor's entrance after he gets his axe.
Yeah.
That is the Thor that I have been... They started getting into it in Ragnarok, but that's the Thor that I have been waiting for.
Yeah.
The all-powerful, you know, just decimating huge swaths of opponents. That's what I've been waiting for. And he finally showed up.
Yep.
The second was Spidey's death.
Yes.
Spidey's death was difficult. It was emotional. Yep. It was well acted. And one of my theories actually ties into this.
Okay.
It's a minor theory. It's not speculation into anything new. But if you notice, a lot of or most of the people who die or are erased or whatever is happening here and get blown away in ash, it looks painless. They just look surprised and poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
But it did not for Spidey. Spidey said he didn't feel good. Spidey said he begged Tony Stark to help him. He knew he was, you know, it was not a clean death compared to the others.
Right.
And the reason was Spidey sense.
Oh,
knew what was coming. He felt it. He had an entire... You know, this impending doom over his entire body. And that's why his was so emotional and so powerful.
His took longer, because, too.
Yep, his took way longer. Because he knew it was coming. Nobody else knew it was coming. They just looked at their hands, and it started fading away. But Spidey knew because of the Spidey sense, which I think was a really kind of cool thing, because they didn't talk about his Spidey sense much in his first couple appearances in Homecoming and in Civil War.
No.
But... they showed it in that bus, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it's an iconic power that he has.
It pops brief in Civil War when Bucky throws a thing at him and he goes, whoa, and he, you know, ducks down.
Oh, yes.
But that's like the only time you ever really see it till the hairs on his arm stand up on the book.
Right, right.
And I think, and I don't even know if that's, I honestly, I don't know if the directors were intending that, but in my head they were. that's how I'm going to look at it from now on.
Yeah, I don't think they slouched on that one. I think that's what they wanted to say, yeah.
Well, and I think they wanted a powerful death right in front of Iron Man because, and we'll get into this later, he's obviously the most important person who's left alive right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted a powerful death to affect him. And Spidey definitely would because he's the reason Spidey's in all this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What I read today, too, was that Holland actually ad-libbed that whole scene. That they told him, like, look, this is what's happening. This is what you're feeling. Just go with it. And he did. And all of that was all him.
That's exactly how a teenage kid would react.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Mr. Stark, please help me. Please do something.
I don't want to go.
I don't want to go. I don't want to die. And and awesome. my third was the snap, and only because it was so iconic.
Yeah,
yeah.
They talk about it a couple times. You knew it was coming, and even though you knew it was coming, you didn't know when. And they did it in such a way that it was even a little more believable because he just took Stormbringer right to the chest.
Yeah,
and he even said to Thor, you should have went for the head.
And yeah, then snapped. That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just because of the iconic moment of it. That was something that needed to be in the movie. I had been thinking up until I saw the movie that the movie was going to end with a snap and a black screen. That was my theory going in, is that he'd get the last gem, snap, black screen credits. But obviously, you
know what? I'd have been okay with that. I would have been okay with that too.
I also like this ending, but I would have been okay with that because it would have really been that cliffhanger.
I think the ending that happened needed to happen. At least for the people who are just joining us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because there are a lot. Like, I was surprised at how many people were literally just getting on this bandwagon, like watching Avengers Infinity War and having really no clue what was going on. We got a lot of people from Black Panther who went to go see Black Panther, and now they're wanting to see what else happens with his story. And they come into Infinity War and for all intents and purposes are salty. Like that you can't be anything but hurt on that one. But it's like, if you've been a fan of the franchise, you know all of this stuff is coming. A snap works for us. It may not work for them. So,
right.
That's right. I left at my showing just after the end credit, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah.
The end credit plays, and this woman sitting behind me turns to her husband and goes, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Which I thought was really funny.
I appreciate that, because that's the nod to the real hardcore fans.
Right, right. Yeah, it is. It totally is, yeah.
You know, we get that. I mean, earlier this year at the Winter Olympics, there was a skier whose, you know, form-fitting speed suit or whatever for skiing was a Captain Marvel suit. Nobody else caught that.
It was blue and red.
Yeah, and I heard about that. Big star in the middle.
Yeah.
And not many people caught it. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, I really revel in.
Yeah, people on the inside, they'll know, but.
Yep.
You know, if you're just joining, you're going to have to do some research, because like there really hasn't been like any reveals for Captain Marvel in the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet. If you're researching news, you see the behind the scene photos and things like that. Right. But as far as the rest of the movies, you don't get anything.
Yeah, and it's really to their benefit.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're showing these little inside things, and there's people walking out of the movie, like the professor said, that, you know, they're asking their husbands, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And somebody's going to tell them. Now, I'm not saying this middle-aged woman is going to go out and buy comics.
Right.
But there's been people that I work with who are around my age who have said, hey, who's Thanos? What do I need? What's the deal? And I point them, go buy this trade paperback of Infinity War, and it'll tell you everything you need to know.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the little things like that that get people into the whole gigantic Marvel universe.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what was even better about that moment, is there was a guy sitting maybe four or five seats down to my right who just turns his head back to her and he goes, "It's Captain Marvel," and he gets up and he walks out of the theater. He didn't say another word to her. It was hilarious. I was like, I like that guy. I don't even know who you are, but I like you.
That's the MVP right there.
Now you go Google it.
He's just so deadpan because he was like annoyed. He was just like, I'm sure he was. Marvel. I mean, he got up and he walked out.
It does get frustrating, but it's like you have to be appreciative for new fans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like sometimes, like real hardcore fans lose sight of like. You get excited about what you've been excited about for years, but you got to be open to the fact that, hey, we can get some new people in on this. We can get some new people in, and we can have conversations with people now that previously wouldn't have had this conversation with us.
And guess what? If those extra people don't come, the movies don't make the money, and they don't make the
exactly
movies.
Right. Exactly.
So you want as many people to come into this great big giant group hug as you can get.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, man.
So how about you, boss? What were your three biggies?
All right. So my three favorite scenes now. One of my favorite scenes is going to be the Spider-Man death. The Spider-Man death is just it shook me. Like, I was cool in that scene. I was like, all right, everybody's going. I'm like, I knew this was happening. I knew this was happening. I was ready for this. And Spider-Man turns around and looks at Iron Man, and he's like, it's like, I don't feel so. I was like, oh man, don't do this to me right now. And I lost it. I've been very solid in these movies, and this is probably the first time I bawled my eyes out. Like, I was like, yo, this is crazy. I'm so connected to these characters now, where like, I thought that I could be okay with the loss, but I'm taking this hit. And it's like, a friend of mine, brought up a good point. Like, this is reminiscent of that Saving Private Ryan scene where the medic dies. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is how it feels. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that.
It's
that's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like that same moment is being recreated in a Marvel film, a superhero film. The films that critics were saying it didn't have the capacity to tell these type of stories, to pull this type of emotion, and we're getting that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's beautiful in the fact that we're reaching these new crescendos in superhero filmmaking, but it was powerful in the fact that, like, yo, there are real costs to this battle. And that's the thing. It's like, everybody's like, how are they dead? And it's like, for those of us that are in the know, we know Black Panther is confirmed for a sequel. We know Spider-Man Homecoming is confirmed for a sequel, but it doesn't make the loss any easier to deal with. That's how you tell a good story.
So, well, and for people who really know how some of these movies can work,
yeah.
What about the scary fact that some of these movies could happen before Infinity War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what if, you know, the next Black Panther movie is in between the first Black Panther and Infinity War? We just don't know.
Right.
Now, I doubt that. I really doubt that.
Yeah, me too.
But it's a possibility.
Right.
Well, and the other thing to look at is, the majority of these characters that have disappeared have somebody else has been that character at some point or another as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, maybe not the majority, but some of them.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? So, like, sure, he's been Black Panther. She could technically become the next Black Panther.
Yep.
There's Miles Morales has been floating around in the air as far as the Spider-Man movie has been forever. Oh, and
he's very popular, actually. He's
very popular. So that, you know, that, look, they're doing the animated movie with him as the main character this year, but there's nothing to say that, you know, somewhere along the line,
he won't make that shift.
He's not going to make the shift to the main character in the movie. So that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, and as long as you're talking spiders, I mean, what about Spider-Woman? They could make a Spider-Woman. I mean, we all know, our the hardcore comic book geeks know that Spider-Woman ties right into the Skrull secret invasion, which I'm going to talk about later.
Isn't she supposed to be? I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere she's supposed to be in Homecoming, too.
Could be.
Yeah.
I thought the last thing I read was they were talking about a Netflix series for her, but I could be wrong on that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but she's also in the comics been one of Carol Danvers' best friends.
Right.
Yes.
So she could pop up in Captain Marvel somewhere. You never know.
Definitely.
True.
Or even before she gets her powers.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Drew, I think, is her name.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
And, yeah, she could show up there no problem.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think we can all say hands down, like, the Spider-Man death scene is probably going to be one of the most iconic moments in the MCU. MCU franchise. It was powerful. Another one of my favorite scenes, right in the beginning, the big cat reveal comes out of the shadows like a boss, and him and Black Widow and Falcon commence to just laying the smacketh down on Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive. Like, yo, if they did not run, I doubt they would have made it. Like, that's how it felt. Like,
right.
Like, Black Widow is not no slouch. Like, she's definitely become one of my favorite physical characters in the MCU. Like, the way that her fight scenes go is just beautiful. So I can't wait to see, like, a solo film centered around Black Widow, watching her engage in multiple fight scenes. Like, that's going to be crazy. So that was definitely one of my favorite ones. Let's see. My last one would have to be on, what was the name of the planet again? With the Soul Stone?
Volmir,
where Thanos is looking over, and you know, Red Skull tells him how he has to get the soul gem, and Gamora's laughing at him like, ah, you're never going to get it. It's like, this is what I wanted to see. You fail at your task because you could never love anybody. And little did she understand, little did she know that Papa Thanos loved her with his heart of hearts. Yep. He turned around and you saw the one tear. I was like, dang, y'all not going to make me hate this dude. We knew what to expect because we got such a great villain in Eric Killmonger from Black Panther that it was only going to get better, especially when we're talking about Thanos. We've been waiting years for Thanos.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So he couldn't come on and just be this straight black and white, we hate this guy villain.
I actually think this goes into your next topic.
Say that again?
I actually think this goes into your next topic.
Which character stood out? Yeah.
Which character stands out most for you? You know what?
We might as well just bleed over because Thanos is definitely one of those characters that stood out to me. Because he has this moment where he's like, I'm pressing. I'm doing this mission. I know what I'm doing it for. I know that this is right. In Thanos' mind, like in Thanos' perspective, this is all the right thing to do for him. And like, He realizes, like, yo, this is what I'm supposed to do, and now it's asking for me a price that I had no idea I would have to pay, but I'll pay it. And so we lose Gamora in this, and he throws her down the cliff, and he gets the soul gem, but you can see the pain. Even Red Skull, he's like, oh, you don't even know. He's not crying for him. He's crying for you. And I was like, oh, man.
That was a great little scene.
It really was. It was so powerful.
He's just such. They did it a little bit different as far as his character goes from the comics that I remember anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was so well done and so well written, it didn't bother me in the slightest how different it was from what he would normally be.
Yeah.
Because he really does believe that he's doing the right thing. You know, in the comics, obviously, he's killing half the universe for death because he thinks that's what she wants.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he loves her.
He loves her, and she won't speak to him, and he's trying to get her to speak to him above anything else. So he thinks that the one thing she wants is to get rid of, you know, half the life in the universe. So he just casually walks to the end of a platform, snaps his fingers, and everybody's gone. But this is so much different because he's doing it because he thinks he has to do this in order for the universe to survive.
Yeah.
Yes, he's completely psychotic, yet immensely principled.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what makes it interesting.
Yep.
It really is. Yep.
Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, a more, I don't know, less evil person would instead take the gauntlet and instead of killing half of all life, he would double all the resources.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
that is one of the arguments people have after watching this, which is kind of funny. They're like, why didn't he just double everything?
Yeah, double
like,
everything.
Shut up. Just let the movie go where it
literally
is.
Literally everything. Just more planets, more everything. Just double it all, triple it all. What the hell?
Oh, man.
So my explanation was, well, he is insane. That's kind of, yeah, you know, he's insane. That's kind of how we look at it.
I mean, even though you get him, you start to understand him, he's still incredibly evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. He threw his own daughter off a cliff to get a stone to continue what he killing was trying to do. Yeah, yeah, I think that's not your pinnacle of seeing who he really is. You're not quite fully understanding what
you're watching.
He
doesn't really look like he's in the giving mood.
Yes, but it is like Killmonger in that. You get his reasoning.
Yeah.
You know, you might not go to those lengths,
right,
but you get it.
What was interesting to me, too, is somebody pointed out, JR, one of the guys that Brian, or the boss that I used to work with, came up, we were talking about it. He said, you know, people are all upset because it's a sad ending to the movie. He's like, technically, it's kind of a happy ending.
Yeah.
For the main character of the movie.
Right.
And he is the main character.
He is the focus.
He is the main focus of the movie. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, he did what he wanted to do. He sat down and he has a smile on his face in the movies. So technically, the movie ends on a happy note for the main character of the movie.
For the main character.
It's like, depending on your perspective, the good guy won. Like, he finished his work and he retired. Like, that's what he wanted to do. So, it was crazy. And then, like, even that scene where he's, like, in the Soul Gem and then the little Gamora asks him, it's like, so did you accomplish it?
Did you do it? Yeah.
And he's like, yes. He was like, was it worth it? And what did he say?
She said, what did it cost?
What did it cost?
And he called everything. And you could just see the pain on his face.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, that's dedication to the work, your life's mission. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yo, he just killed his daughter, son. Like, you can't, like, feel like this for this dude. But it's like, I don't know. Like, tell that to the Marvel writers. I can't control how I feel.
It's actually a secret government conspiracy to turn us all into psychopathic murderers, right, and you know, uncaring, unfeeling, robotic, evil people.
This is how population control starts, folks.
Yep, this is it.
Right.
This is it.
Oh, man. Yeah, but let me see. Like, any other characters that stood out for me in this film? I definitely like Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was definitely a solid character. Only because I like a character who knows what has to be done and does what it takes to get it done. This is part of the reason why Thanos is like such a reachable character. Cause like Doctor Strange has the same thing. We have that scene where he's going through all the different scenarios and he says, look, I went through all these billions of scenarios and only one worked. And it's like, we gotta hold on to the fact that he's basically carrying out that one scenario.
Yeah,
so he had to give Thanos the time gem. And it's just like watching him and Tony bounce off of each other, I think was like one of the greatest scenes in that film too.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, they were almost complete opposites, which is what made it so interesting.
Yeah, and it's so funny because When Strange started out on his journey, he was, for all intents and purposes, Tony Stark.
Yes, he was.
And he goes through this great, like, humiliation, this humbling process, and comes out on the other side like the Zen master, basically. And he sees Tony, and he basically sees everything that was wrong with everything that held him back from when he started. And, like, you could see the contempt on his face. Like, he's like, man, I'm just this guy.
Yeah. I used to be this guy. I used to do this.
But he does still have a little bit of that arrogance in him at the same time.
Yeah,
he does. Like, when the response is, you know, what do you do besides, what did he say? Stark says, what do you do besides something? I can't remember what it was. And he says, protect your universe, douchebag. Or protect your reality, douchebag.
Yeah, protect your reality, yes.
It's very funny. But he's still got a little bit of that in him. But then, you know, like you said, you can tell when the shift is, when he's got to give up the stone to save Tony's life.
Yeah.
And he does that. which for several reasons, you know, you're short. Like, look, he's the only one who knows how to win.
Yeah.
He's the only one who knows how it all goes for
them. He saw it.
He saw it. So he knows he has to give it the stone away to do that. But at the same time, he's also thinking, I need to save this man's life. He's about to die. And the only way to do that is to give the stone up. So you do see a little bit of that switch over in him at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I could just round it out with any other characters that stood out for me, it's just like, I think this movie as a whole, like focused on like maybe four characters. Like everybody else I felt was kind of supporting. So you got Thanos, got Doctor Strange, got Tony Stark, and I'll argue Gamora. And these were the focuses of this film. I felt like, you had Bruce dealing with his issue trying to get the Hulk out, and he didn't show up, surprisingly, because I felt like I got falsely advertised. I got shown the Hulk, and I did not get the Hulk.
Yep.
So, you know, I expected Wakanda to be a battleground. I didn't expect it to be like a good opportunity for character building. Like this was the last stronghold. You know what I'm saying? So I expected a big battle scene there. Cap didn't really say too much, but there are some lines you know what? Another character I would say is
Vision?
Yes, Vision. Yeah. Yes. So there's an exchange that Cap and Vision have that I feel like are going to be important for what comes next. But those are like my main, like those are the characters that kind of stood out. They all had some really, really big, meaty parts. They had some really interesting developments as far as where they were going to go as characters and how they were going to contribute to the team. But yeah, like for me, Tony was another big one because he's been kind of dealing with this since post Avengers. His PTSD has been for real, and they actually play on that and they bring that back up with his. Does he have some kind of mental connection with Thanos?
I think it's just that whole he's been stuck in my head since the beginning kind of thing. I don't think there's an actual real connection between the two of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, Tony, he calls him by name, and I'm not sure if they ever met. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
They did not. But it really wouldn't be a stretch for Thanos to know every superpowered person on Earth, especially since he had already launched an invasion of it led by Loki. Right.
And he's been watching the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Like he knows. I mean, he's got the stone that had Ultron in it, you know, which was kind of a weird setup, but. You know, he has the stone that Ultron in it, so he's been watching the stone the whole time. So I and you know, who's the main guy to stick out in every movie has always been Stark. So, because he even says you're not the only one cursed with knowledge or something like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think he just knows who Stark is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But those are the characters that stood out to me. What about you, Professor? What about you, Jay? Any characters that stand out specifically for you guys?
I'll let Jay go first on this one.
Nothing that hasn't been mentioned. I think they, of course, did a really great job again with Spider-Man. Yeah. Not just his death scene, though. I mean, he was the impetuous youth. You know, he shouldn't have been there.
Right.
He didn't listen to Tony. He came anyway, and it wouldn't have saved him. He would have died anyway when the snap of the fingers happened. But nobody else really stood out. The Scarlet Witch Vision. Thing was fairly important, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else really is. Yeah, you know, Star-Lord had his comedic relief,
right?
Thor had his quest for a new hammer. You know, it was. I think we hit him on all of them already.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the only other one. I mean, I agree with all of those. The only the one that actually stood out to me. A lot more was actually Scarlet Witch. Stood out a little bit more to me because she didn't really get a whole lot of time in most of the other movies. She's really more the supporting character, but her role in this one was a lot heavier. And I think they gave her a lot more to do. And I think she did really well. You know, I was kind of surprised how well she came across.
Yeah.
She does kind of lose the accent.
Well, you know,
I'm okay with.
Yeah, you know what? But, I give her props for that because she's been slowly kind of like degrading the accent as her scenes have been shown. Like the first movie we see her accent is like super thick. And the next time we see her in Civil War, it's calmed down a little bit. And then now it's like barely there. There's tinges of it, but it's like barely there. So you can see like her full kind of like assimilation, I guess, to the world in which she's living in now.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But she was
actually the one who really stood out to me, anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, from just a pure nerd standpoint, I spoke about this earlier with Thor. I enjoyed that they let her really flex her muscles of her powers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was not. I mean, like when you first saw her in Avengers 2, you know, she could move some things around with her mind, and she could do a few things. But in this movie, I mean, she was tearing shit up.
Yeah.
And that's Scarlet Witch. I mean, she literally, in the comics, she literally took the powers from 90% of the mutant population. I mean, she can bend reality.
Yeah.
I mean, she's no joke. Now, I don't think they gave her the reality bending powers
that I don't think so
she has in the comics. I think they just gave her telekinesis. That was always my feeling.
Yeah.
But still, very powerful. And if they're ever going to do anything with that, they need to establish that she's not just a parlor trick superhero.
Yeah. I kind of hope that they evolve and mutate her abilities as they continue the story, I guess, as we go down into like what I like to call Saga 2. Like, we're finishing up Saga 1 with Avengers 4. And once we move on to Saga 2, it's going to be the new gen. So I'm hoping that she takes more of a forefront, a leading role, and then we see her powers evolve into what we know them to be.
Actually, I was going to bring that up when we talked about what should we expect moving forward, and I got an idea about that.
Okay. All right, well, let's get past this story part, because this the anticipation stuff is what I'm really looking forward to. That's what I want.
Well, we do have marked on there if there were any characters we didn't like, and I will throw out there that there was a character I wasn't a big fan of.
I'm gonna see if I can guess.
Go ahead.
Was it Groot?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was okay with Groot.
Yeah, I was kind of okay with Groot.
They just needed to do more with him.
He's
a very popular character, and they could have done more with him.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're holding back a little bit, because I know Gunn was part of the producers and directors in the movie, so I wonder if he's asking to hold back a little bit because he wants to do more with him in the next Guardians movie. Yeah.
I'm
sure he does.
Yeah, I definitely like Groot having that moment where he realized, like, okay, all right, I can't really, like, be on the side and be in my angsty teen thing. Let me help.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a big moment for him, and I'm sure they're going to use that in the next Guardians, because I hope they do.
It's also incredibly pleasing from a lore perspective that hammer is made from the traditional Uru metal that Mjolnir was made out of. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's also hilted by the wood from a beloved and powerful character.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it fits. It fits really well, actually.
Yeah.
And Gunn has come out and said that there are three different Groots, essentially, that there's going to be seen at some point. So the first one from the first Guardians, kind of this one, and the baby kind of one from Guardians 2. So supposedly there's a third kind of version of Groot that we're still going to see at some point down the line. So,
Now that you say that, I have another idea about that.
I don't want to.
Because there's a portion of the storyline where a sliver of Groot actually gets put into, I think it's called Yggdrasil, the world tree. The world tree.
Oh,
there's a storyline where there's a giant, like, planet-sized Groot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I'm just saying that happened in the comics.
Well, I mean, like, look, to be honest with you, like, Guardians of the Galaxy has been dealing more specifically with themes of family than anything else. So I would not be surprised if the next Guardians, we kind of dig more into maybe Groot and Rocket's history. So.
Yep.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I would too. You know that Rocket's got to have some, because they keep hinting at it a little bit in each movie.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tragic, and it's going to be very redeeming in the end, I think.
Yeah. I think I did read that Gunn said we're going to learn more about his history in the new Guardians 3. I'm pretty sure I did see that somewhere. So,
yeah.
But no, the only character I wasn't really a big fan of, and he's not in the movie all that much, is Eitri, the dwarf, the
Peter Dinklage
character. Okay.
I you know, maybe it was the voice that bugged me. And I know it's kind of his Game of Thrones voice that he's trying to do a little bit deeper. I just didn't. I wish maybe. Like, I don't understand why everybody has to be British just because you're from outer space. Like, why couldn't he have just used his own voice? You know what I mean? To kind of speak. So I just thought it was kind of weird and kind of strange.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to hold you. I agree. I definitely agree. Because even, all right, so I'm going to bring it full circle to something else that I'm doing right now. It's playing God of War. So the dwarves in God of War, I love the dwarves in God of War.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Too.
They don't have like the Brit, like no, not every character has a British accent or some kind of like high Shakespearean accent. But it's just like individual to that character. Like one's real scruffy and then the other one's like, you know, kind of like a like he gets queasy at the sight of blood. So it's just like it's just like the ability to still be able to translate these characters in this kind of like classic environment, but for them to have almost like a modern voice, it works. So yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. Yeah,
I like Peter Dinklage, I do, but it's like, you know, you hear Chris Hemsworth say Asgard, you hear Tom Hiddleston say Asgard, and it's Asgard, you know, when they say it.
Yeah.
And then comes to Dinklage, and he's like, Asgard. And you're like, dial it back a little bit, maybe. You know what I mean? Like
oh, man.
That was one of my only beefs with the movie, was his character, and some of the stuff with Banner and Hulk going back and forth, I thought was maybe a little weird, but
yeah.
You know, I'm also on a quick side note. I'm being demanded to say hi to Jay from Kelly. She's chatting on Discord.
And well, all right. Hello. She says,
I demand that it be on air. So, you know, I will throw that in there.
All right. Quick. Awesome.
She says hello.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, now tell her that the price for that is to get 10 subscribers.
Do it up. So,
But yeah, that's the only other thing. I know we really haven't talked too much. Like, next thing was any improvements. I thought the whole Banner Hulk thing was kind of weird. Like, I get why Hulk's not coming out. He's never lost a fight before until Thanos whoops the holy shit out of him, essentially.
Yeah.
But the whole bit of, like, the face coming forward, screaming no, and then going back, and then Banner kind of talking to himself, to me was a little bizarre. But
I don't know.
I don't know how else he would do it.
He does do it in the comics. Yeah,
it's just weird to show it
in a movie because in the comics you can illustrate anything. You know, you can illustrate him inside his own head. You can illustrate a side panel. You can illustrate him looking in a mirror. But that stuff doesn't always translate to motion.
True. At first, the whole Banner Hulk thing kind of bothered me, but then I had to like really digest it. I mean, like, because my brother actually brought it up to me. He's like, yo, look, it's like, you got to think of Hulk like this. Hulk is like Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey came out on the scene, was killing the game, undefeated. She was not being stopped by anybody, until one fighter comes out and floors this woman.
Who knew how to box.
Didn't have to worry about ground game. Knew how to box. Took her out. And at that point, like, yo, Ronda Rousey went on radio silence. Like, she was devastated. And I was like, you know what? Oh, okay. I could kind of see why the Hulk ain't winning. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Hulk got rocked.
Yeah, oh,
he,
completely.
He got rocked. Like, when Thanos punched him in the throat, I was like, wrap it up.
Throw it in the towel.
It's like, it was just somebody throw in the towel.
A big, gigantic green towel.
Yo. Oh, man. It was horrible. Like, and Thanos wasn't like
sweating
or going toe to toe with him. He outclassed the Hulk completely. Yeah.
See that scene? It was okay. I am a Hulk fan. That is my character. Everyone's got a character,
right?
That is their favorite. I am a Hulk fan, and that was painful, but it was important to the movie to show just how unbelievably powerful Thanos actually is.
Yes. Yeah.
Now let's be fair. In the comics, Thanos and Hulk are an even match.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Especially when Hulk gets pissed off, because we all know the more angry he gets, the stronger he gets, and nobody's ever found an upper limit to that.
Right.
So we know that it would be fair, but it needed to happen in this movie, and it was incredibly effective.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Because if that didn't set the pace for the rest of this film,
you I don't knew know what to was tell happening now.
Well, because at that point, too, he has the Power Stone, but he doesn't use it. Like, the stone doesn't light up as he's fighting. He doesn't need it. Beats the tar out of it.
He's just giving them hands, yo.
And this is a character that we giving them hands. Come on, we all love Braun Strowman, right? I mean, come on.
Oh.
but yeah, that, because in every appearance of the Hulk, he has been the deciding factor, the one. I mean, Loki even says it. He calls back to the previous movies and says, "We have the Hulk."
Yep.
And it didn't fucking matter.
Didn't matter. Nope.
Did not matter. Didn't
make a bit of difference.
He put the Hulk to sleep, y'all.
Yep. He like, really did.
Yep. I don't care what analogy you want to use. Got the smack laid down on him. You got knocked the fuck out. I mean, whatever analogy you want to use.
Oh,
that's what happened to Hulk.
Yo, did you see how he just tucked him in like he was just holding him in. It's like a baby.
He gave him warm milk. He read him a bedtime story. Heimdall saved his ass.
Heimdall was clutch. He gave up his life for the Hulk.
R.I.P.
Oh yeah,
that's a real G right there.
Heimdall came in with the clutch heel right in that one. Yes.
Oh man,
That's funny.
Yeah.
So. The only other thing that bugged me in the entire movie, not to kind of derail where we're headed there.
No, that's good.
The only other thing, and it's so nitpicky, it's stupid, but it really bugged me, is the fact when Peter gets off the bus, he goes to the side where every single piece of traffic can see a kid hanging off the side of a bus before he puts his mask on. Go out the other side where nobody can see you.
Yeah. Jump off the bridge first, kid.
Yeah.
Come on.
Make it look like a suicide.
The world's gonna end. Yeah. You decided to end it.
Because I can't take it anymore. And it wasn't like he put the mask on first and then went out the window. He went out the window, then put the mask on, and everybody in traffic going in both directions is looking at the bus.
Yeah.
Ugh.
However, what his buddy did just before that happened was hilarious.
Was very funny. Yes.
We're all gonna die.
Because that was some real shit right there.
He didn't miss a beat. He said, "P, I need you to give me a distraction. We're all gonna die. That's how you know that man is his best friend.
It is a very funny scene. Yes, yes.
But that bothered me immensely. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I'm just going to chalk that up to rookie moves.
The one character in the history of the Marvel Comics who the least amount of people know who he is has always been Spider-Man. Like every other hero at some point or another, other people figure it out.
Yeah.
Nobody ever really knows who Parker is.
Or they're just not very good at keeping a secret.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't care. They're like, I'm Mr. Fantastic. Reed Richards. I work at the Baxter Building.
he's no Barry Allen on the Flash TV show where 700 people.
He gives out his business card.
Yet he somehow still remains secret identity.
He's like Barry Allen the Flash. Like here's my home number. You need to call me.
Exactly. But yeah, that was the only other thing in the entire movie that really bugged me was that. Otherwise, I was good with pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
So where we headed next? Oh, the story.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of chalked this up with the highlights. You know, so we already talked about our favorite parts of the movie, you know, our favorite scenes. I mean, not unless you guys have any other scenes or parts of the story that just really... really stood out to you? For me, this goes into anticipation. But
all right,
the beautiful aspect of it is that when we're left at the end with all the heroes that are left, we have all the OGs there, all the guys that started this story off. You know what I'm saying? So it's only right that it ends with the men and women who started this story.
Yeah, the only two who weren't are Nebula and Rhodey. Otherwise, everybody else is all the
Originals. I think Okoye is there. Okoye is there.
Well, Okoye too. Yes,
yeah.
Okoye is. Yes, there. And here's another nice thought on that is when the next Avengers happens, who else is going to be with them but Ant-Man and Wasp, who in the comics were two of the original founding members of the Avengers.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yes.
Oh, which nice. That's just a nice little, you know, like extra bread roll that you get with your dinner.
Yeah.
You know, you get an extra piece of cornbread.
Woo!
That's,
put some butter on top.
Yes, this is awesome.
Well, and not only that, but it's also going to be Hank Pym, even though he's not Ant-Man right now, but it will be Hank Pym, who was one of the technically the original members, right? Not just Ant-Man,
well,
but it was Hank Pym.
And the word is they cast Michelle Pfeiffer as Janet Van Dyne.
Right. That's who they're gonna go save to be her. There too. Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's one of the aspects of the story that I'm really digging. I liked that the battle scene, the big battle scene was in Wakanda. I like that because
of course you did.
Here's my. Of course, I did. Everybody knows my favorite character is Black Panther, but it's like the setup for the next movie. This is going to have repercussions. This is going to have repercussions to T'Challa's rule. Come the next story of Black Panther.
Sure.
And I cannot wait to see how this unfolds. Whether or not, like, even how we talk about, like, okay, well, maybe Shuri's still there. So does Shuri take the mantle of Black Panther?
She has in the comics.
Yeah, she has in the comics. And she will not, she's going to reluctantly give it back to T'Challa. Is she really even going to want to give it back to T'Challa? You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that, like, that bring up a whole bunch of questions as far as like where to go after this story is all said and done. But
well,
it's like,
here's the other thing about Black Panther is are a good portion of his people going to be pissed that he brought war to their doorstep?
Oh, yes.
Well, look, one of the first things, one of the only things M'Baku says is this will be the end of Wakanda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right before the whole battle scene starts. It's one of the last, one of the only things he says.
Yep.
Now,
so
granted,
that's kind of a foreshadowing.
It had to happen there because, I mean, let's face it, it's Utopia. It's the biggest, strongest, most powerful nation on the planet, and nobody knows it.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Or people know it, but they're just starting to figure it out.
Right. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. I'm kind of hoping they follow some of the new story arcs that have been going on in the comics. Cause it's ripe. They're setting up the groundwork for it. So, and it's just like the little things. Like even when we were talking about Spider-Man hanging out the bus and not putting his mask on to the last minute. Like, will that come back to bite him? You know what I'm saying? In Homecoming 2, it's like who knows? Like just little stuff like that. Like I'm just interested to find out about that we're seeing in the story. Like everybody's kind of like acting out of desperation. But nobody's considering, like, if we do win, what's going to happen after? You know?
Right.
So, that's. I do wish though that they would have. I don't know. I just wish the Hulk would have showed up in the clutch or something. You know what I'm saying? But
they set it up. They set it up for him to show up in the clutch in the next one.
Yes, definitely.
It's almost a given that Black Widow will get hurt. And
that's
Hulk
what I'm
bringing
about. That's I was waiting for that this entire.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
And he just burst right out of that Hulkbuster armor and go crazy. But I can almost guarantee, almost, that Black Panther or Black Widow will get hurt. Hulk will Hulk out, and he will get his rematch with Thanos.
Yeah.
And this time he's going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different.
Yeah.
That's what I think will happen.
Yeah.
At least the fanboy in me thinks so.
So, you know, obviously, guys, we're already in anticipations. We're not even going to segue into this. We're just going to keep talking about, you know, some of the things that we took note of in the movie and where we think it's going to go moving forward. So let's really dive into some stuff. I'm thinking, so what about the other half of the Asgardians? They got away. So is it safe to say that we're going to see Valkyrie possibly in Avengers 4?
I would say so. I would say it's a possibility, sure.
I was surprised we didn't see her in this one.
Yeah.
I really was.
It made sense that she got the other half out in a way.
Yes.
I'm sure that would have been Thor's wishes.
Absolutely. Had he not been floating around in space bumping off of windshields.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, though. She got the other half away. She'll be in the next one. She actually came across very good in, or is very popular in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm gonna quote this line that was said twice in the film, and I know it's going to play a role in how Avengers 4 transpires. We don't trade lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, especially by the person who says it first.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, look, I like Chris Evans as Captain America a lot.
Yeah.
And I am not looking forward to the fact that he is probably going to die in Avengers 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, they ask him in all these interviews, and I was watching something he was on. I guess he was on, what's the Michael Strahan show? Is it Good Morning America?
With Kelly, isn't it?
Yeah. Whichever one that is, it was Regis and Kelly. Now it's Michael and Kelly, whatever.
Yeah.
He was on, and he was talking about how his contract is up after the next one. Hemsworth is up, and Downey's is up, and they were like, and basically his response was, well, we'll see what happens. Yep. And you're like, okay, well, one, he's not stupid. So if his contract is up, they're going to back a truck up to his door if he says he'll keep doing it. So,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he could keep going. But all the other rumors you hear, like, he doesn't want to do it anymore. He wants to go direct more movies. He doesn't want to kind of get stuck, you know, continuing to do these. I don't know. I don't know where he's going. It's almost impossible to read at this point. But it's going to be a shame if he's gone. And the Captain Steve Rogers character is no more, because he's just so good at it.
Yeah.
Now, something I would really like to see, and I'm okay with them killing off characters if it makes sense to the story,
right?
Because it can make a movie good, even though it's not. It's difficult to watch. It can make a movie good or even great. What I would really like to see is there's a lot of characters in comic books. There are characters in comic books that don't have their own run.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're between runs. But when the big events happen, they show up.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a really good niche for some of these higher paid, large contract, original Avengers. Cap, Hulk, Iron Man, you know, the big names is... They all kind of split up. They'll still do some Avengers movies, but when the really big event happens, when Galactus comes, or when, you know, when Secret War goes down,
yeah,
that's when they show up.
Yeah.
Right. So you think maybe give the other guys some screen time of their own?
Yep.
And they can come back, you know, as one shots kind of thing.
Well, and this actually one of my little notes here talks about there is a reason that Tony Stark had that conversation in the beginning of the movie with Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's more, I think, there's going to be more to it than just they want to have a baby, and it's really sad that Tony got stuck on Titan. I think two things are going to fall out from that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
One, Iron Man's going to retire. When this all falls out, he saves the universe. He's going to step down and be done. And he'll make his cameos and, you know, whatever. But he'll be the one stepping down, or be the one that sacrifices himself to save everyone. But the other thing that I think is a not as probable possibility is he's talking about a dream where he had a kid. Almost like another world. Or maybe a parallel universe. And this goes into a theory that I had that I've read. I didn't. This one isn't mine. This one I read on Reddit that basically said all those people didn't die. All those people, a new parallel universe was created, and they're sitting on the other side, and they saw all of the other people disappear.
Mm.
So all the events happen in both universes, but in one universe, Cap is the one that disappears, and he watches, and everyone else watches him disappear. And in the other universe, he's the one that stays, and he watches Iron Man disappear. Or, you know, you split it up however the movie split it up. It's not a main theory, but it's possible. It's been done before in the Onslaught. Well, that was more of a second planet, but it has been done before.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, I could see that happening. Even if the parallel universe is something like this, like all those souls are now inhabiting the soul gem in that soul world.
That is definitely a prevailing theory.
Yeah.
Well, I think they showed us at the end of the movie that Gamora is definitely in the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that's the given, because
is the given.
It's way too orange in that scene for them not to be in the stone at that point, right?
Well, geez, doesn't it look like the same water that he woke up in when he had the stone in his hand?
You know what? It does. I didn't even think about that, but it does.
Yeah,
it does. So clearly, that's her in the stone. Somebody that I still work with, that boss and I used to work with, our buddy JR. His theory is that she's going to play the Adam Warlock role. In Avengers 4, she's going to be the one who kind of turns everything around from inside the stone, then comes out, takes the gauntlet, and puts everything back to where it was. Mm-hmm. And then Captain Marvel's going to be the one to pull her from the stone somehow and go on from there. So,
she can't absorb all kinds of energy. I mean,
it's true. This is very
true. You know, she's custom made to fight Thanos with the glove.
Yeah.
So that character.
My theory that I thought of that I would love to see happen is probably not going to. Would be, yes, bring in Captain Marvel, but also keep Mar-Vell, because we know Mar-Vell is in Captain Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. So the Mar-Vell character, Jude Law, is in Captain Marvel. He has been fighting Thanos forever and a day in the comics before he dies of cancer, which was odd, but, you know, he used to fight Thanos constantly.
Yes.
So I think that would be your best character to play the Warlock role, to have him come in, because his character could control the gauntlet. And be able to turn everything around and beat Thanos. You know, have Carol Danvers helping him, obviously, but, you know, you could kind of sacrifice him in that point to be the one to have to take the gauntlet and you know, oversee the universe. Mm. I think that would be awesome, but I don't think they're going to do that, unfortunately.
Well, as long as you're bringing up Captain Marvel, the Captain Marvel movie, I don't know, you guys probably know this. You have your thumbs on the pulse of a lot of what's going on in these movies. But it takes place in the 90s.
Yeah. Right.
And it takes place when Earth is stuck in the middle between the Kree and Skull War.
Yeah. Right.
So where did she go? Where has she been?
That's the thing that everybody keeps asking. Where's she been this whole time?
Yes.
She's been around. She's been in existence.
Now, I heard two theories. One, she's with the Kree.
Okay, which would make sense.
She gave Nick that, because if you notice, it's a pager.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. Nick,
which is very funny, very but she 90s. Gave Nick something that was the prevailing technology of the 90s. They souped it up, and here, call me, if Thanos ever becomes a threat, because like you said, Mar-Vell has fought Thanos for years.
Yep.
She knows about him,
mm-hmm.
and she gives him this pager and says, or they make this pager and says, if Thanos ever shows up on Earth, you're going to need me. And the other thought is she's become a recluse on Earth. Something went down in her movie, and she don't want to fight anymore.
Huh. That could be.
Could be. And it takes... the snap of the fingers to get her back into the fight.
Right.
Yeah, maybe she loses somebody in the snap as well that kind of makes her want to have to...
Yep.
Yeah.
Or maybe she doesn't even... Well, no, because she's going to be in the new Captain Marvel movie. So, never mind. I was going to talk about maybe Marvel passes her the gauntlet, you know, or the, not the Infinity Gauntlet, but passes her the mantle to fight in the new Avengers movie, but that doesn't make sense, so I'll shut up.
Hey, you got to stretch the minds. This is how, this is how these theories come out.
Welcome to my process.
Got to throw it out there and see what happens. Yeah, I'm sure she's still out there, like kind of like maintaining that Kree Skrull crisis out there. I guess I heard somewhere that the planet that the Soul Gem is on is in like the Kree star system. So she would be aware of something. She would be aware of something if it went down in that star system.
Andy, what's the name of that planet?
Volmir.
Yeah. It's in like, it's something called like the Holgar system or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it would be interesting if she's like kind of like aware of what's going on, and then she gets that page, and then she's like, okay, I gotta stop maintaining the way that I'm doing here, because if she's like trying to suppress this major conflict that's happening in the cosmos, then she could be preoccupied with that, stop that, and then come you know, handle this imminent threat to reality as we know it, and you know, that's where she's been all this time.
I could see it where she's definitely still with the Kree, and that she's just not allowed to go take part in these other events, because the other events we've seen take place have only been affecting Earth, right? They're not affecting anywhere else. So, you know, if they do some kind of supreme intelligence for the Captain Marvel movie, which I don't know how you couldn't, although it might be a little odd having a big head in a tank, you know, on the movie screen. But hey, they did a nice spin with Arnim Zola, so they could certainly do some kind of cool spin with the Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, from the things I remember, that's a character that wouldn't let her leave to go save Earth just because that's where she's from.
You know what I mean? You just mentioned something interesting. So if she's with the Kree and they don't want her messing with Earth, or they don't let her go and help out in any of this stuff, in Guardians of the Galaxy 1, those events do affect Xandar. And at the beginning of the movie, there has recently been a Kree-Xandar truce. That's why Ronan is so angry, because he didn't want a truce. He wanted to keep fighting.
That's right. Yeah.
And she would also definitely not be allowed to go help the Guardians of the Galaxy or get involved with any of that,
because right,
it's Xandar. And that's, you know, hands off right there. That's really the only, otherwise everything else happens on Earth, really.
Yeah. I mean, and in this one, you know, we find out that Thanos has wiped out Xandar shortly before the movie starts. So, again, she wouldn't be allowed to go take place in that either. So, I mean, that would make sense to me, you know, but when it's something that hits galactically, you know, taking over the entire universe, that's something that they're going to let her get involved in. Or she's just going to go, to hell with you. This is more important. I'm going to go get involved anyway.
Right.
So I think her being with the Kree makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. Another thing about Xandar. I don't know how much Nova you guys read, but the whole premise behind the superhero Nova is that all of the Nova Corps gets wiped out, and he is the last member of the Nova Corps.
He is the last.
Oh, and he absorbs all of the power from that gigantic hive mind that is the Nova Corps. So wouldn't it be interesting if one of the fallout consequences of Thanos gathering these gems was the creation of one Richard Rider, or whoever they want to, you know, bring in as Nova, whichever version of him.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how he was created, is the whole Corps got wiped out and he's the last one left.
That would be pretty sweet to have him in the next movie, too.
Because I've heard rumors that they want to start going into the more galactic stories.
Well, and that kind of makes sense, because I think they've been the ones who've probably been the most popular overall. The Guardians movies seem to get a lot of the people pulling them in. And they've signed Gunn to be the overseer of any of the space movies for the next however many years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's going to be their guru to watch over all that stuff, you know, so.
Well, I think what's really easy about the Guardians movies is that they're so widely acceptably likable because they didn't have that gigantic, strong comic book fan base
right.
of people who get angry because they don't have their characters exactly how they want them. So it's relatable. It's relatable to the novice, and it's relatable to the hardcores.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. So let me see. So all right. So we talked about Captain Marvel for a little bit. How you think that she's going to come into the fray? And we talked about that line. You know, we don't trade lives, but we know we have to get like the Infinity Gauntlet has to be taken from Thanos in some way, shape, or form. So, do you think that the same cost for the Soul Gem is going to be persistent? Come Avengers 4. So, are they going to need to acquire the Soul Gem again? And maybe that's where that line comes in.
So you mean trade another soul to get the stone back somehow?
Yeah, yeah. Like some kind of way they're going to have to end up trading a soul in order to get the Soul Gem back or to do whatever they need to do with it.
Or in order to get it to work?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think it's going to be the stones have to get scattered or, you know, kept with different people, right? So. Yeah. Someone is going to have to take the stone at some point. I don't think it's going to be a matter of leaving it on a planet again.
Right, right.
So I could see someone being forced to inhabit the stone, so to speak. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if it ends up being Thanos, ultimately.
Something
happens with Gamora and he realizes he's made a mistake. You know, when
he stays and she leaves.
He stays and she leaves. I wouldn't be totally surprised by that. It leaves, you know, it does a couple of different things. A, it doesn't go through their continuous habit of killing most of the villains that come out in the movies.
Yeah.
And leaves him open to potentially use him sometime again somewhere.
Right.
Yes.
But it redeems him at the same time.
Right, you know right.
What I mean? So it kind of gives him back that little bit that everybody kind of thought maybe he had before he snaps his fingers and takes everybody out. So yeah. I wouldn't entirely be surprised if it ends up being him. Would I like it to be Adam Warlock? Because that's kind of what's supposed to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's no time to introduce Warlock at this point.
Yeah, not before Avengers 4. Yeah.
Introducing him in Captain Marvel doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
You know, right. So there's no way to bring him in.
Yeah. And I actually didn't Gunn say that we wouldn't see him until the next Guardians movie?
That's what he said.
He's come out and he said, I'm not guaranteeing you Adam's going to be in Guardians 3. Either, but we won't see him, you know, anytime soon is kind of what he said.
Right.
Right. So that's a good segue into the Infinity Watch or Illuminati, you know, depending on how you want to look at it. We need these keepers of the stones. So who do you think does that? I think this is a good way. This would be a good way to do the curtain call for Steve Rogers' character. At least where you give him like the time gem and let him go back in time to his original place and live out the rest of his life there. You know what I'm saying?
In peace.
So who is it originally? It's Strange, Stark, Beast. Is it Namor?
No. I literally have a poster behind my head right now of the Illuminati.
Nice.
It is Iron Man, Professor X, Namor, Reed Richards, not the best Richards, but Reed Richards, Doctor Strange, and Black Bolt.
Black Bolt, that was the other one. Okay, so. Yeah.
Now, God forbid they bring those disgusting, horrible, poorly written Inhumans. Leave, just write them, just stop. Just stop.
Didn't like the Inhumans either, huh?
Start over. Just, I couldn't even get through it, man.
It was rough. It was
just, you know what? You don't hire us.
Yeah, we'll right. Knock out we could do an Inhumans.
We'll knock out an Inhumans.
There's four of them we don't have currently, right? Not till the whole deal goes through anyway, so.
Well, no,
there's no X.
Three of them.
Three of them, because they technically have Namor, right?
Technically, they have Namor.
Yeah.
So there's no X. There's Well, all right. No, you go ahead. I'm confusing myself.
No, you're right. There's we're missing Richards, Namor, and Professor X.
Right.
We have Strange, Black Bolt, and Iron Man.
Okay. And we know they're probably not going to use Black Bolt unless they reboot that whole thing, which they should and could, but probably
they're just gonna recast them, and they're gonna act like nothing happened.
You know, they picked those Illuminati because they were the head representatives of every kind of class in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
You had the science guys, you had the government guy, you had the mutant, you had the inhuman, you had the magic guy, you had the Atlantean guy from Atlantis. So, I guess the question would be, if we're going to have Illuminati in the MCU, who are the leaders of their prospective kind of domains?
So you have to think, if Stark sticks around, one will be Stark, one would still be Strange, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I think because they made it the Eye of Agamotto, I think the Time Stone ends up going back to Strange.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. Yeah.
But there's no saying he couldn't use it to send Steve back.
Right.
True.
I would think Thor.
Thor.
Especially since...
Quill.
Probably T'Challa.
Yeah.
You know, being the king of a country and, you know,
T'Challa was also... Black Panther was one of the original Illuminati, but as soon as they all got together and he saw what they were planning on doing, he noped the fuck out of there and said, you guys are gonna fuck this up. And he's like, I don't want any part... Because they shot Hulk into space. That was one of the first things...
Oh, that's
That was
right.
one of the things they did.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, they did shoot Hulk into space, but they started way back before that. I'm sorry. They did that's when the Professor X left.
Right.
T'Challa left like right away because they were going to do something with the Skrulls. I think I have the trade paperback. I need to read that again. But they did something that was potentially had a lot of problems for the entire planet Earth. And Black Panther had the sense to be like, no, 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 no.
No thanks. I'm good.
Please leave Wakanda. I'm out.
Keep us off the list.
But he is in the MCU now, and he was one of the originals. So
I wouldn't be surprised if Captain Marvel get one, considering they're basically saying she's going to be the strongest character in the entire Marvel Universe when she comes in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how many is that so far?
It depends on who we're going with. So Stark, Strange, we say for sure. I would say Captain Marvel probably for sure.
Black Panther.
I would say Black Panther for sure. Thor for sure. So it leaves us a 5 out of 6.
So just somebody maybe, from the Guardians.
Maybe Gamora.
And Thanos.
Maybe Thanos.
If he's stuck in the gem.
If he's stuck in the stone. But
yeah.
As far as someone possessing it, I would think maybe Gamora.
No, it would be Gamora.
Yeah.
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 I would think.
I was thinking somebody from the Guardians franchise.
Right.
No, that would make perfect sense.
Actually,
an interesting theory, and I'm sure you guys noticed, the gauntlet got fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah.
When he made the snap.
Once he snapped.
Now, what if the gauntlet doesn't work? Doesn't control the power anymore? How are they going to reverse everything?
You know what I thought about that? But after he snaps the fingers, he opens the portal with the space stone to take himself to wherever he ended up. So,
right,
I think the stones are probably still fine. That was the first thing I thought.
That's true.
After.
But here's the thing too.
But he only used one stone, not all of them at the same time.
True. Yeah, so maybe the glove in and of itself can't house the power of
like
it.
Like you can't,
but
you can't
still
use them all
have
at the same
that
time
one
now.
That's at the forge.
Well, or my other theory was. In Guardians of the Galaxy, the Volume 1, they all teamed up and kind of literally held hands to use the Power Stone. What if these 6 people that we just named off each have to take a gem and fix everything?
Work together.
Like, hold hands, work together, do the Power Ranger or the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers thing, like Voltron or whatever it takes. Little Captain Planet action, and that's how I think they're gonna fix it.
Interesting.
Now, there's a really out there theory that I started reading on. Actually, 2 of them. And I'll go through one, I'll shut up for a little while, and then I'll do my last one. That seems fair. So, one is we all know, all three of us know, that Doctor Strange saw all of the alternate possibilities for how this was going to end up, and we all know he's holding the cards. He did not stop Peter Quill from going apeshit on Thanos, if you notice. He wasn't even in that part of the fight.
No, you're right. He's kind of set back.
He could have easily stopped Quill from waking up Thanos. Just, boom, little portal, done. You're on the other side of the planet. So he knew the whole time, okay, we're going to lose this fight, and I'm going to give until the point where Tony's life is on the line, and I'm going to give the Time Stone away. And, he even says this was the only way. This is how it had to be.
Right.
Or whatever the exact line is. Now, if you notice, when he first gets captured, he says to, I think his name's Dark Maw or Black Maw.
Ebony Maw.
Or
Ebony Maw.
Yeah. Ebony Maw. Yes. He says to him, you're going to have a real hard time getting to the stone because I put a spell on it. And you're going to have an even harder, and he reiterates it later, you're going to have an even harder time if I'm dead.
Right.
When he makes the Time Stone appear, he's not touching it. He's got his hands around almost the aura. It's almost floating in his fingers. Mm-hmm. And Thanos does the same thing when he takes it from him and puts it in the gauntlet. The theory is, Strange did something to that stone. That's why he cast a spell, he put in a failsafe. There's even people there. I even read a theory that all of the stones have a primary and even a secondary purpose. For example, the space stone can be used to make portals and teleport, but it could also be used to hold tremendous amounts of energy.
Right.
Okay. One of the theories is the Time Stone has a secondary purpose, a secondary ability to almost act as an alarm or a stopwatch. You could put a timer on it. You could tell it to return to a certain, maybe you could tell it to return to a certain spot after an hour or a day or a year. Strange could have even literally put a spell in the damn thing. He's the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea. Is Strange gave him the stone, and Strange, he's got a bigger idea in mind. The bigger idea in mind is probably let Thanos think he won, and then we'll get the gauntlet later. Right. That's probably what it is. But maybe it's not.
Yeah. Like, I've heard that theory. Like, basically, Strange used the Time Stone to create almost like a marker in time.
Yeah.
So that they can go back to it once they need to correct things.
Yes.
Well, and that's what happens in Doctor Strange, right? When he's fighting Dormammu, he creates the loop.
Yeah.
That continues until he decides it's time to let it out. So it's interesting. Yep. It's an interesting theory.
Now, the other theory that I had was in the original Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, Thanos has two sidekicks. Nebula, who he has tortured and turned into a zombie.
That's right, she's a zombie.
A brain-dead zombie. And the other was Mephisto.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there anyone, can you guys think of anyone in this new movie that looked a lot like Mephisto?
And this
and was connected to a gem? Maybe was wearing all black?
Oh, the dark elf guy?
No. Red Skull.
Oh, Red Skull.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't Red Skull be the perfect devil in someone's ear?
He would be.
He would.
He would be, for
so
sure.
I'm thinking, maybe Thanos gets a little bored in his retirement. Maybe Nebula comes after him one last time. Maybe he turns her in. Maybe it plays out a lot more like the comics. And it's, in fact, Nebula that saves the day.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, it would just be kind of a fun thing to have Red Skull there as Mephisto. That's neither here nor there.
It would.
But there is a very good possibility that Nebula is going to play a much bigger part in the end game of this than we think.
Because she didn't have much to do in this movie. She wasn't very long.
No.
So I wouldn't be surprised if she plays a bigger role.
I mean, she was the hero of the comic. She's the one that kind of saved the day.
Yeah, because she ends up with the gauntlet briefly.
Yep,
yeah.
She steals it, and that lets Warlock out, and boom.
Yeah, and like a moment of hubris, right? Because like basically yep. Thanos is getting ready to shed his physical form, but he forgets that he doesn't have the gauntlet, so...
He lets yep. his guard down. He decides he can yep. beat them all without using the powers of the gauntlet, and he right, almost right. loses because of it.
Yep, and he didn't realize that Nebula really wasn't brain dead.
Right.
She was just playing possum.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would be interesting.
Huh. Sadly, I don't really have any more theories as far as what happens next.
Yeah.
Like, I have my Marvel theory. The only other thing I thought I could see happening is, so it looks like at the end of the movie, the gauntlet burns, right? Burns to a crisp. So there's a possibility now that gauntlet is seared to his hand and he can't take it off anymore.
Oh, yeah.
The was Marvel it movies...
Was it still on his hand at the end of the movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
When he limps up at the end, it's still on his hand. Marvel has taken over the Star Wars tradition of removing arms from people very clearly in these movies.
It
right?
happened a couple times in this movie, didn't it?
This movie alone happened a couple times. You know, Groot cuts his own arm off. Call Obsidian or Black Dwarf in the comics, as he's known, loses his arm.
Yeah, because doesn't he get thrown through a portal, but then Strange closes it? Or Wong closes it.
What if the way they get the gauntlet away from him, which, you know, you kind of watch this movie and you go, why didn't you just do this to begin with, is they actually have to cut his arm off.
Oh, yeah.
And hack his arm so that the gauntlet falls off and he's not wearing it anymore. Like, maybe you could see Nebula doing that. Taking Gamora's sword and hacking his arm off, and that's how they get, you know, the gauntlet away from him. So that's the only thing that I think could potentially happen in the next one.
I mean, personally, as a fanboy, I think Hulk should rip his arm off, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Beat
him with it. Deadpool would do it.
Well, absolutely, Deadpool.
Oh, man.
But yeah, we all think more or less Steve Rogers is either going to die or he's going to wind up somewhere else.
Yeah, because we just, I don't want to see Steve Rogers go, but I also don't want to lull myself into a false sense of security and then have Steve Rogers taken. And it's just have my whole world shook. Like, I'm not ready
for that. Yeah, then have another Spider-Man moment.
I'm saying.
I have talked about my other theory before on previous podcasts that Stark does, like, kind of like what Jay said, kind of does walk away. And that Shuri maybe becomes the new Iron Man, like you know, the Iron Heart in the comics now.
Yeah.
He's a young black woman. I could see Shuri becoming that. And then maybe they just bring in Downey Jr. as the voice of her suit.
Oh.
You know, which would be pretty sweet.
That would be so dope.
And he would be so late to do that. I mean, he's going to make millions just sit in a room and talking to a microphone, never actually be on screen anymore.
He'll knock it out in a day.
Yep. Yeah.
He'll build a little sound room in his house and kill it.
That's really the only other kind of theory that I've kind of had floating around. So I don't know if you got nothing, boss, as far as your theories or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what we already talked about, you know, I definitely think that the Soul Gem is going to play a big role in the events to take place. I think that, you know, somebody is going to have to give their life in order for this whole thing to be resolved. I think moving forward, we're definitely going to have to look at the two movies that are coming out. So Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel, I think we're going to have to look for those clues, because I think the quantum verse is going to, the quantum reality or whatever you want to call it, is going to play a big role in make possibly how they resolve that issue.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think Ant-Man and the Wasp, they said it takes place after Civil War, but the events leading up to Infinity War, so we won't see them kind of like loop over. We might get that loop over maybe in a end credit scene. But I definitely think that quantum universe is going to be key in Avengers 4. And then
I actually think that when Doctor Strange wasn't fighting with Thanos on Titan, I think he went and recruited Ant-Man.
Mm.
In that little window in there. Or maybe even... there's a possibility that Ant-Man and Wasp will end with somebody coming to Ant-Man and saying, we need your help to save the universe.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Because you guys have the tech to get into the quantum realm and maybe either get through time, get to another universe, something.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I know what it, whatever they're setting up, I know it's a big, there's a big reason why Ant-Man wasn't in any of the, Ant-Man and Hawkeye weren't in any of the advertisements. I know a lot of people were upset about that, but I think that there's a reason behind that. And it's going to come to fruition in Avengers 4. And you might be right. I'm definitely thinking that Quantum Verse is going to have something to do with it. But I definitely would like to see Doctor Strange pop up and say, we need you. Or somebody coming up at the end and saying, yo, we need you right now. Come help us save the universe. You know, and the same thing with Captain Marvel. We're going to get some kind of revelation in Captain Marvel. Maybe she's going to be I'm leaning more towards her being an entity that can handle the power of all six of the Infinity
Stones. Right. That's a really good point.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because that's always been my question is who's physically going to be able to handle the, because we already saw in Guardians how demanding these stones are. You know,
right?
Not even in just in Guardians, in Captain America, when Red Skull touches the Tesseract, like he can't even touch the Tesseract, you know. So he's not even touching the Infinity Gem. So
yeah, I mean, he touched the Tesseract and it sent him to the other end of the universe.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know, we're gonna need a powerhouse, and I think that's what Captain Marvel is gonna be for, and I think. I don't think there's any coincidence that she's a cap. She's her name has Captain in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We're gonna do this passing of the baton, and there's gonna be a need to be a new lead,
a new leader.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Carol Danvers is gonna be that one.
Well, I mean, they put her in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a time.
Very true. Very true.
So, does anybody else think Loki could have faked his death?
I do.
It's Loki.
He's already done it several times, right?
So. Right. That's his MO. Especially, he's not... I mean, come on. Like, he has dealt with Thanos. He's talked with Thanos. He knows what Thanos is about.
Right.
There's no way he could have thought, I'm going to walk up and stick him with a dagger. With a shiv.
Yeah. Yeah.
and stop him.
He thought he was going to get it in that jugular real quick.
I mean, I think he'll be showing up in a save the day kind of role in the next movie.
I could see that. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
And I mean, of course, Vision got backed up, right? I mean, Shuri, he's on Shuri's computer.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'm like Shuri hoping. Fixes him and brings him back in the next one. Yeah, that's
but I'm betting a lot of his emotions are gone.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be that cold. Because if you notice, when he died in this movie, he turned gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the cold, emotionless Vision in the comics was the white.
Was that all silvery. White. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He's going to come back. It's going to be hard for Scarlet Witch. There's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can see that for sure.
It would be crazy if when he does come back, it's going to be, you know, he's going to be cold and everything, but you know how in the comics they have kids, like she's pregnant.
Yes.
That would be crazy.
Yes. Yes, it would.
That might go a little too far for the movies, that whole thing.
Or killing the kids and she snaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up. I kind of looked over it before. It is possible Hela's not dead.
Yeah, we didn't see a body.
We didn't see a body.
Yeah.
She would fit in perfect for death at Thanos' side.
Yes, she would.
And now her power came from Asgard. Remember, that's the whole reason they let Surtur wreck the place. Was that so she'd lose power and they could take her out. But Odin always says, Asgard is not a place. Asgard is its people.
People, yep.
Half those people are still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm betting the other half might get brought back or whatever, but just a last thought from me. I think Hela's still going to pop back up.
I wouldn't be surprised by that either.
Yeah. Because I mean, we were talking about it at Thor Ragnarok. We didn't see a body, so I'm not going to count it out.
Right.
Yeah, you never actually see her die. You see Surtur plunge the sword in by where she is, but you never actually see her die. So
yeah, she's a little too tough to go out that easy, I think.
Yeah. And I think the rumors, just one other rumor out there, I think the rumors of us not seeing Hawkeye in the next one, but seeing Ronan instead.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense, because I'm guessing the finger snap takes out his whole family.
Yeah.
And he loses his mind.
He loses his shit.
Somebody got to die.
And he shows up as Ronan, so
yeah.
That won't surprise me at all either.
Well, and there were people saying that that's who they were trying to find Hawkeye, or were they trying to find Hawkeye or Iron Man when Nick Fury and Maria Hill were in the car at the end of the movie?
I don't think they were trying. I don't remember them trying to find anybody.
Well, they were talking about, have you gotten a hold of him yet?
Oh, maybe
they were talking about like getting in touch with. They were trying to get in touch with somebody.
My thought would have been Stark. I think would have made the most sense.
It would have for me too, but you know,
I might have to check it out again.
Force me to go see it again. The timeline in that scene is a little weird, I thought at first, because you know, all of a sudden they're like, these things have appeared over Wakanda, and the next thing you know, everybody's disappearing like within 2 seconds. But
yeah.
Somebody brought it to me, it might be a good point, that when he snaps fingers, right, he indiscriminately takes out half of the entire universe. So those could very well be his people crashing from their spaceships that no longer have people to pilot them.
Right.
You know, that are outside of the realm. So that makes that timing make more sense.
One thing about that scene, though, that bugs me is there's no way, days or even hours, days, whatever, before they're in that SUV riding in Manhattan, there were giant circular spaceships over New York City.
Yeah.
There's no way he would be sitting in an SUV on Fifth Avenue and not in a helicarrier somewhere.
That's probably a good point.
That's one thing that bugged me. Now that you mention it, I was like, well, hold on. Why is he? No. Wakanda's exploding. I mean, no, he's in a, no, something was wrong there.
So I don't know. Cause I mean, at this point, SHIELD is completely defunct. They had that one helicopter at the end of, helicarrier at the end of Age of Ultron. But
that's true.
Do we know where that went? It was still good, right?
Last time we saw him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if they did anything with it in S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't remember them doing anything with it in S.H.I.E.L.D. Getting the helicarrier in S.H.I.E.L.D. in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, and then, like, I don't know if you guys watched last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there was, like, a little nod to what was going on, because one of the agents is like...
Did you see what's happening in New York or something like that, right?
Yeah. They said, you see what's happening in New York, and the other Asian was like, nah, I try not to look at the news. It makes me crazy or something like that. So it's like, wild that, you know, even after all that talk, the universes are still linked. So I'm trying to see like where it's going to play come Captain Marvel.
I will say it would have been nice if some of the Netflix heroes could have got into Avengers Infinity War.
I do wish they would do that. It would make sense.
It just would have made sense.
Even if it's just a scene where it's like Matt and Foggy in a room and Foggy disappears.
Oh,
you know, something like that.
That would have been great.
When everybody's like disappearing, that should be a MCU, like an entire universe event.
Yeah.
That should be felt. Like the ripples should be felt everywhere.
You know, I don't know. Were you guys Dragon Ball fans?
I was.
I am not. I am not.
Okay. At the very end of the Dragon Ball Z saga, when Goku's trying to kill Boo, you get these scenes that spanned all the way back of all these friends Goku ever had from the beginning of Dragon Ball. That's what they should have did.
Yep.
They should have showed all the different places. They should have showed the Ravagers, like a couple of them disappear or, you know... I mean, it should have, you're right, it should have been spanning. That is one thing that would have been a little cool. Or, Andy, like you said, having just a cameo of, okay, let's say when those big spaceships appear over the city and Spider-Man leaps into action, why not have Daredevil helping out in Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Why not have, you know, I don't think Punisher would have done anything. Maybe would have shot a couple Jaywalkers, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, Daredevil, you know what I'm saying? We should have saw Daredevil, at least Daredevil and Luke Cage.
Yes, you know, right? At least.
Because they're like the people's champ type of heroes, we should have saw them. You know what I'm saying?
I would agree with that, yeah.
On the street level, that would have been really cool. Yep. But
you know, because I mean, they do it in the comics like all the time.
Yeah, it's not like they didn't have the money to bring these guys in for a couple days.
Exactly.
I mean, they just made more money than anyone's ever made on a movie ever.
Yeah.
Although I think we can all agree that you don't get a much better ending vocally than Samuel Jackson going, "Motherfuck," and it just stops before he can finish it.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
And I think we all need to remember. We all need to remember at the end of the day, no matter how sad this movie was, it's still a comic book movie.
Yes, very true. Yes,
it's like it's so like this man has become so iconic. Now they have Easter eggs to his personality.
Yes,
on the movie, like that's crazy.
Do you guys know the story of why he has that part?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I don't.
So, Andy, do you remember the Ultimates run?
Yeah.
Okay. So that came first, obviously, but they wanted to make the original writers when they were doing Ultimates number one wanted to put Samuel L. Jackson in there, and they went and asked him. They said, "Sam, Mr. Jackson, can we put you in this comic? Your likeness. We want you to be the new Nick Fury." He said, "Absolutely, but if you ever put Nick Fury in a movie, I'm playing it."
That's awesome.
Yep.
And that's why he's always Nick Fury.
Yep. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Because it was like, it's kind of trippy the way that they did it, because they asked him for his likeness and they used his likeness from when he played Shaft.
Yep.
And then, you know, he made that arrangement with them, and now he's Nick Fury. And the rest is history.
Is history, yes, sir. That's awesome. Yeah, my favorite with him still is the end of Winter Soldier when they're looking at the gravestone. And it just says, "The path of the righteous man," Ezekiel 25:17.
Yes. Yes. You know, honestly, when Samuel L. Jackson passes away, and I hope it's not anytime soon, if there isn't a curse word on his tombstone, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Peace, MFers.
That'd be awesome. That'd be
so perfect. Or it just says "bad motherfucker" on it.
Yeah, exactly. That way everybody can go, "Which gravestone is this?" This one says "bad" on it. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Oh man.
Yeah. So I think we've covered everything.
We have pretty much covered everything, and I think it's unanimous, guys. We really liked Avengers: Infinity War.
Absolutely.
So that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, on YouTube, The Boss's Desk, and you can subscribe to these podcasts on Google Play and iTunes for regular updates on new episodes. If you have any questions about anything you heard today in the show, any of the theories that we spout out that you want some clarity on, you know, just send us your questions. You can send us your questions on Twitter. Just tweet at The Boss's Desk, or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com, and you might hear your question aired out on the show, and we'll discuss it and go through it. And so that's it for us here at The Boss's Desk. We just want to give a special thank you to the man Jay coming out, just guesting and really just answering all those questions. And giving us those theories, a lot of knowledge, you know.
Sure.
Man, now I'm gonna have to actually do some work.
Yeah, we need
when I go to work tomorrow.
We are definitely going to need you to come out again, man. This was fun.
This is great.
No, this was a great time. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. All right, man, and that's it for us here. The Big Boss and the Professor and Jay, we're signing off. See ya.
See ya.
Later.